Anybody have any questions about this? Concerns? Did you say they're transferring it to?
I don't know who it's gonna transfer to. First Oreo is the one that owns it now. They're gonna transfer it to somebody, then they will have to comply with every, all the typical development requirements to create lots.
Motion to approve.
Scott, is that what you're like, was it, or not?
What's that?
So what are, exactly are we approving here, Chad? What exactly are we approving on this plat?
We would just be approving this plat. Since it's in the PRD, that's kind of why I thought it'd be best to involve the planning commission. It's, you know, it's not technically a major subdivision where they're creating new lots, but you would just be approving the transfer of this parcel. Future development would take care of all the typical.
Before they could do anything, would they have to come back through the process like everybody?
They're technically dividing this property, creating a new parcel. This note on there is explaining why they didn't go through the normal procedures of showing proposed houses and septic or sewer and anything like that.
Okay, I move to approve the plat.
Everything's in order?
Yeah, this is getting started.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second. Any further discussion?
Pick one.
All in favor? All opposed? So moved. Thank you, Chad. Is that it? Do you got one more?
That's it.
All right, moving to the next. The sign committee update. You're representing the sign committee and.
Yeah, and does everybody have this?
Part I gave you earlier.
Did you get a copy of this? All right, so Mike Getty got a draft together. I got it out to the sign committee. We met on Friday. Without Mike, we met on Monday with Mike. Series of edits. This is the final document as of today. But be aware that Mike did not make the final edits on this. I did today. I think I did the table, so he hasn't. I sent it to him. I haven't heard if he's okay with all the edits at this point, but that's where we're at with that. Smiley, if you want to go over what
we
came
up. Yeah, I have a summary, not knowing what level of detail you guys wanted to go through this. Debbie can probably lead us through if you want to go through item by item faster than I can. I can give my summary ahead of time or wait until the end or whatever.
Might as well go now because it gives everybody a chance to kind of catch up on them.
Yeah.
I'll give a couple copies if you want to throw that down. So I think Debbie and I are the only two left with any hair, and ours is grayer than it was. It was an arduous task, to say the least. We didn't get everything we wanted to in it. We didn't fix everything we wished we could with it, but it's basically time to put something out so that the community has sign standards. We fixed, our biggest task was to fix the fact that the Supreme Court said we can't have sign ordinance with any content considerations. And so we believe that we diligently resolved that. So that's something we achieved out of process. We definitely defined the sign types and the terms that they could be used during sign application process. We tried to do that without making the process really complicated, and we think that we can administer it. At least I think Debbie thinks she can administer it sometimes. We addressed several aspects of disconnect or inequity between the existing sign ordinance that we're under now and what our current signs look like. And when I say that, I'm pointing mostly to business signs. Those are with respect to setback issues, size issues, defining what a flag versus a sign is and being a little more clear on that. Better defines directional signs. If you think of a directional sign like you typically see going into a McDonald's or a Burger King that is in the right of way very often. So in the letter of the law, not an allowable sign, but it doesn't make much sense to have a directional sign if it's not visible from the road. So that's sort of an animal that's on.
So you changed the ordinance to accommodate the existing signs?
To the best of our ability, in most respects. Every time we had a question, we came back and said, safety first. Does it meet the safety standard of, you know, why we should be considering this? So when we took some of the setbacks away from what the current code has and said you can go up to the property line, it was because readability is far better if it's close to the road than it is if it's back away. So for the most part, those setbacks have been modified. Some stay the same. We ruled out some sign types in some districts. It tries to balance legal signs compared to illegal signs, and I just because they're up there right now, I put the rodeo banner sign, which there's one going north and there's one going south, and they're in the right of way. There was no permit required or issued or requested or issued, but in the future under this code, those would be deemed illegal signs. And so just to prepare you guys, Debbie knows the ramifications and the commissioners, I'm just trying to point out the places that I think there's going to be some public input, opposition, however you want to say that. And so that's one of them. We were able to provide 5 feet of additional elevation above the 20-foot sign height that is permitted in most commercial districts if your property lays below the road. Think about Aquatic Center or Smiley's, where a 20-foot sign does not get you up to where you can see it when you're driving by. We fussed and argued quite a bit about whether we should just flat out say you get 5 feet above the road surface. We did put in the definitions, center line of the road elevation beside where the sign is the determining elevation, and then up to 5 feet above that. But everyone on the sign committee resolved, and the ultimate the motion was never more than 25 feet high. So there's still going to be instances where a landowner cannot get a sign up to where it's visible, but that's how they wanted to do it.
So that landowner would appeal?
There's no appeal process that I'm aware of. There isn't currently, and I don't think
currently it's 20 feet. Now it'll be 25, but yeah, if you have one side that the road is higher than your sign, then that's the way it is.
If you have a hillside and the road's down here, and you're measuring from down here,
you got 25 feet.
Flat, you're screwed. You're measuring from a road and your business plot is up here on the hillside, you're measuring from down here, not from here.
That's why they say real estate's location, location, location.
That's right.
I mean, pick a better location.
And I guess the reason that the committee members ultimately decided that was because the neighbor beside that business would still have to look at a 40-foot sign if we said, you know, it took a 40-foot sign to get up 5 feet above the road surface. So having that neighbor negatively impacted in the community setting, in the sign committee's discussion setting, was the ultimate reason that they felt you just should never go over 25. Wasn't my feeling, but that's.
But right now, the business under the current ordinance, right now,
20 feet.
That's 20 feet from 25 feet from the face of the property.
That's 20 feet now. 25 will be possible in the future.
At the point of the business, though, right?
Not right.
Dave, you're thinking it's a lower road, but it's really at the point of the business, right?
And it's at the point of the business.
Okay, right. Okay.
So an access road up to a hillside, you measure from where the access road meets the business property. Okay. That would make more sense.
pointing out what we failed at. We didn't realize it until the very end of the road, starting last Friday. The plan does not regulate the quantity of signs, only size and placement, in residential districts. That is because there's a new court case based out of Missouri, but in our district, per Mr. Getty's advice, that we had to pay response or pay attention to. The short version is Mr. Wilson put up a sign in his yard outside St. Louis, and the folks in Missouri that just did what our sign committee did and rewrote everything content neutral said you can only have one sign in a residential district. He objected to that. It's not to the Supreme Court yet, but it's through the circuit court, and he has won. Initially, he lost, and then on appeal, he won, which means Mike thinks that we absolutely cannot regulate the quantity of signs in any residential district. Freedom of speech being different in residential districts than it is in commercial districts. So we continue to regulate, as the chart shows, the number of signs in commercial districts, but not in residential. Okay, so that was a failure in my estimation. I could take away that as a failure. We tried to put to level the playing field on the enforcement angle, with history showing us that illegal signs can exist with no repercussion, and legal signs have to meet all of the standards, either what the standards were or what they're going to be now with this new code going forward. And I tried very, very diligently to find a way to make those that put illegal signs right down from the legal business signs that I have and be able to hold them accountable. We weren't able to put that into the current code the way it exists. I've asked the commissioners personally, aside from the sign committee, I've asked the commissioners for a meeting so that we can discuss that enforcement angle. It doesn't seem super difficult to accomplish, but it is going to be an administrative cost to it. So just realize that as you go through, if somebody puts a banner sign, a flag, an A-frame at the end of a roadway, any sign basically in a right-of-way, it's defined by this new code as an illegal sign, but there's no action available to the county currently for illegal signs. They would have to put something in place for that. Remaining issues. One of the major ones is, do we require a permit, automated or otherwise, for every sign? So if Sally wants to put up a yard sale sign, does she have to come in and get a permit, or can we create something online? And I put much like our garbage permit, because I go in to the county website and I am able to get a garbage permit printed out. I have a number on it. In my view, you could take that number and say that's the number associated with the yard sale sign, and so it is now a permitted sign, and it doesn't require staff time to administer that process at that temporary sign level. Still, it's going to be some repercussion that fall into the zoning world, and I understand you guys have to sort that out. At least if we are requiring that and there's an illegal sign in an intersection and they tried to get a permit for it or didn't get a permit for it, you have a little stronger standing. And Mike Getty thinks that we can create language to have that illegal sign issue be dealt with, but currently doesn't seem like there is. On to B. What do we do with signs in roadway rights of ways? Just broke that out additionally. It's a separate issue. Committee believes it would be helpful to create a sign guidebook to assist with the administration and comprehension of the community. So signage, you know, we're seeing it in our sleep, I think, at this point, but we've gotten a couple of examples in this process of guidebooks so that you can say, all right, if you have an Autumn Glory banner that is 2 feet by 8 feet, that 16-foot sign would fall into here. You know, if it's a temporary sign, it's allowed to be up for X number of days. If it's on a property that doesn't have a permanent building sign or another permitted sign, someone would have to apply for it in order to put it up. There will likely be reactions when the, and again, I point out to the radio sign or the Autumn Glory type signs that need to get permitted that have never gotten permits in the past. So if we change that portion of the code, there will definitely be issues with it. What you have before you does not do that at this point, to be very clear. The grandfather section, as Mike wrote it, does make some changes, and there will likely be some blowback from that. If someone has an illegal sign, and there are many of them at many businesses up and down the corridor, and they cannot display that it was legal when it was built, then as an illegal sign, it would have to be dealt with, removed, whatever you all decide to do with it. Bill's Marine's one of the longest standing ones that has a bunch of those signs that aren't legal and are oftentimes on rights of way instead of on their property. So I can see some issue there. Any questions? I really hope that you guys can figure out the public meeting process. I know that you initially had a conversation back in February about having a public meeting at this level and then another one at the county level. Having had a sign that blew away in our 60 or 70 mile an hour winds at the fairground back in February, I would like to know what the sign code is before I spend 30, 40, 50 grand replacing that sign. And so that's the reason that I haven't done it. And you know, I think that there are very likely other businesses in my position that would like to know what the code is sooner rather than later. So expediting that process is something that I would like to see.
Well, for the sake of process.
So your process is, obviously you just got this today. It's a lot to take in. I would recommend that you take time to read it and be prepared. When it comes to, you have the option to do the public meeting. You don't have to. However, you need to know that the commissioners have to do a public hearing. If you're not completely comfortable with who's going to come out of the woodwork, if there's anything controversial at all, and it ends up in the commissioner's hands, the commissioners will just send it back to you. So it's almost in your best interest to work all that out first before you send it out to the commissioners. That's all entirely up to you. It's just my recommendation that you know that you're comfortable with it and with any protests that might come out.
Are you recommending the Planning Commission have a public hearing on it then?
That would be my recommendation. That they just got this today. So maybe you read it and you say, oh, no, it's good. We shouldn't have any protests, and that'll be fine. But if you're not, I don't know that you're going to get there. So I can't say you're going to be comfortable once you read this. Only you can. I can't make that judgment call.
In your discussions on the committee, did you... I'm sure you talked about the difficulty of determining where the right-of-way is, because it varies greatly from one place to the next.
Sometimes it's well-defined, like if it's a state highway, you know where the right-of-way is. It's defined. Many times it is what's referred to commonly as a ditch-to-ditch, and there's argument. Morgan was on the committee, and he's a surveyor, and is it the top of the ditch or the bottom of the ditch? What if there's a 6 or 10 foot bank coming into the ditch? Is it the top of the 8-10 foot ditch? So a lot of that is an issue. The way I personally wanted to deal with it, and in some respects, our recommendation does it when you look at the chart, I wanted to just say, look, as long as we're a safe distance off of the edge of the right-of-way or the edge of the pavement, then it doesn't really matter whether we're at a spot where the right-of-way is 100 feet wide like it is in McHenry on 219, you ought to be able to put it a safe distance off the edge of the pavement.
But that'd be a subjective judgment.
And it also has to do with what we define as illegal sign, because at that point it's not on someone's property. And as Mike's written this, every sign that's not on someone's property is an illegal sign. Now, we met with the state highway and said, do you ever allow property owners that adjoin your right-of-way that have a very long, wide right-of-way the ability to put signs on your road? And they said, yes, we do. So they have a mechanism to allow it, but we don't really have a mechanism to transfer in this, in the way the code's written, we don't have a mechanism to provide for it. You could say anyone that owns adjoining a right-of-way, you're allowed to put it within that right-of-way if you own it and make it part of the permit, but it would require a different definition and some discussion with Mike.
Is there any changes to the illuminated signs?
That whole section, and it is, it's the last page. So it's under special provisions for electronic message center signs. So now they're called EMCs, not LEDs. So there's a lot of changes there, actually. So now they would be permitted. There's still the standard stuff about intervals. Graphics are provided. Video is okay. Animation's okay. We have some limitations on the speed of transitions in animated changes, some text on brightness, some text on that protects residential uses within commercially zoned so that they are not directed towards people's windows, and some further text about, gets a little technical about an agreement that the issuance of the permit is conditional on meeting the requirements within the ordinance and proof of a UL 48 certification so that it's a legal sign in the United States. So that's all in there now.
So I should remember this in my but this ordinance only applies to the Deep Creek Lake watershed.
Yes. It does. You will notice on the chart, so our chart is our way, and I think I've gone over this with you before, to do a number of things, to one, simplify things, but also make it so that we do not refer to signs by what they say. So we don't say real estate sign gets this, and yard sale sign gets this, and a no trespassing sign. You know, we don't call it out that way. We do it by whether it's freestanding on premise or on the building, or if it's a development complex sign on a common area, that sort of thing. So you're not, you can regulate it without reading it that way. But some of the things, some of the setbacks are different, trying to make some allowances for that. We also have included a bonus area for the signage, like previously an on-premise sign was 100 square feet, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, Chad. And we had a bonus for 125, that's got changed to 125 is the flat, so we did bump it up. But you can go to 150 if you choose not to do an EMC, or if you have four or more businesses on the same property, so you can have a little bigger sign to advertise the different businesses. So we've tried to make some changes to make for some allowances.
I guess the one concern that I have, I was getting a little early so I could read through this a little bit, is we feel comfortable that this is a finished product that we want to move forward with. What I mean by that is this document, I guess, is what you've been working on trying to get it done, get it finished. Like I said, Mike Getty has, you know, forwarded it to him, what, just when I got here about 1:10 or something like that, you just forwarded it to him, so he has it in his possession to review. So the question you have to ask, again, I'm looking at it from a process as far as timeline. If we have a public hearing, and we do it on our next session. So whether it's August 7th or whatever it is there enough time to do that as a public hearing?
August 7th.
That's what it said on the thing, August 7th.
Oh, we're going to do August 7th? So we're not
August
7th
is the first Wednesday.
Pardon?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What I'm saying is try to expedite it quick, because you're going to have to have, then you guys have to have a public hearing, right?
I think not if you all.
You are required to. It's an option for them.
Oh, I thought if they had one, we didn't have to. We have to have one.
You still have to have one. There's, yeah.
And one of the recommendations Debbie's making is that she feels like there was anything contentious, because she's right. If it gets contentious, you're mean, you're just going to drive it back to us and say, well, why did this get contentious? You're supposed to review it, right? I mean, that's the way I see it. So I'm saying if the process goes, but we couldn't have their meeting, their public hearing would then be another 30 days from our meeting?
They have to advertise it for a couple weeks, I think, 2 weeks before they have theirs. But then generally they hold open for public comments afterwards for a period of time as well.
So even if everything was in a perfect world, you're looking at September, earliest October, realistically, if we go through this process that we have to go through. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you guys had a chance to see this just a little bit. You know, everybody's got it in their hand. If it's not a document that has been reviewed completely by our county attorney, then it's hard for us to.
He's seen most of it. He just hasn't seen what I've.
So on the other hand, I'm trying to figure out what is the possible way
to. Could you approve it subject to review by the county attorney? County attorney has substantial.
You could approve it, but what you're asking is for them to approve it when they just got it. Half an hour ago.
I mean, I personally don't feel comfortable giving you an opinion on it without fully looking at it. I don't want to be stuck to something that when I go through it and read it carefully, that I disagree with later. My thought is, if it's October anyways that we're looking at, what does it matter if we're into November or December? Because people really aren't going to put signs up in the winter, are they?
Are you smiling?
I'm going to put it up either under the old regulation or the new as quickly as I can. I'll probably have to put it up under the old regulation if it looks to me like it's going to be at the end of the season.
So and that's the reason I came up earlier today was to try to familiarize myself with the whole, because the process has been long in happening, because there's how many meetings have you had, and it's been a contentious thing. Do you feel like, and I'll ask this, Debbie and I talked about it a little bit, and I'll ask you, Smiley, are there contentious items in here that you see other than the flag?
Only what I've pulled out, and I don't see those as being healable. I mean, somebody's going to get pissed if you tell them to take an illegal sign down.
Right.
What you have before you really doesn't change that. I'm having that as an additional subject discussion with the commissioners, because I think that they have the power to do that administratively under
right.
the current scenario. So from my perspective, I had heard you guys back in the February meeting consider, well, maybe we get the pitch or the product from the sign committee and look at it for a week or two and have either a, you know, email poll, do you agree with it, or if you've got to sit down and do it, you do it. And then if you have to have a public meeting, which I still don't really see the purpose of, you could do that at your August meeting. So that would move things ahead a month.
Well, so that's what I'm kind of getting at, is if and I'm going to defer to that, you know, if you feel like that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get it so if we get it October, you know, if we get it September, we don't. But I'm saying I'm trying to get the process so that everybody's comfortable with it. So let's just say if we come back.
You always have an option to do an
right.
additional meeting. Then you don't have to wait till the first of
right.
Wednesday that's of every kind of month. But you can't do the email poll. You're under the Open Meetings Act. You have to do everything publicly.
Right.
You can't vote.
Well, I guess here's what I'm thinking. If we take this home with us today and we review it, and if there's any questions, get them to Debbie or Chad or whoever. Because I don't think you've had a chance to look at it too much, have you? I mean, you just got it the same time I did, right?
I've been aware of
right. But the point is that let's say 2 weeks from now, we decide to have another meeting. If everybody agrees to that, and it'd be a very quick meeting, you know me, and then do the August 7th meeting as a public hearing. If you want to make it a fourth, I don't know, I'm speaking for everybody else. Everybody speak up.
You need 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Before the...
And that would give you time to advertise it, isn't it, right? If we had another meeting to look...
Trying to do all the timing on the...
I'm just speaking out loud. If you see something, I'm running the wheel the wrong way.
I'd have to verify how many times I'd have to advertise in the paper, because in certain ordinances it says it's a mandatory 30 days of advertisement or 2 weeks of advertisement or whatever. So I'll have to verify exactly how long I'd have to advertise your special meeting to meet the law.
Is there any precedent to have the Planning Commission and Commissioners meeting announced as the same meeting? You know, if they approved what they have before them in 2 weeks, and you said either at the August 8th or some first part of August meeting, you were going to advertise a public meeting one time that was collectively Planning Commission seeking input and the Commissioners seeking input, chances are there's going to be very little input like there is today, and it may zip right through.
I guess that's what
I'd
give
have
you a question
with
to
Mike
them,
to make sure that would be possible.
That we're not
required. You're not required. They are.
They are.
But generally,
if you want to have a
you
joint meeting,
pass it on to them.
Right.
They do what they're supposed to do.
Right. But we could make it a joint meeting. So if there's any contentious issues, we could discuss them while we're there. If that.
I understand. I think I understand what you're saying. Debbie's point is that the Planning Commission is not required to have a public meeting. We are. So, I guess from a county commissioner's perspective, we would like to get as complete a package as we could before we have a public meeting. I think we'll know better after we meet with Smiley. We talked about this at our work session on the Monday meeting with yesterday. One of the things that I think we're concerned about is we recognize the need for some kind of enforcement process mechanism procedure. Because as Smiley has said, if you have an ordinance and if there's no enforcement, then you don't really have an ordinance. But I think just based on a pretty superficial level of understanding of it right now, we're concerned about what's involved administratively in permitting and enforcement and some of the things that Smiley talked about, right-of-ways. You know, in some places we don't honestly know where the county right-of-way is on the road. The general rule of thumb, I think, is ditch to ditch, but we just ran into one place where that doesn't even apply. You know, so we're having to, for example, to put fiber in, we're going to have to trench down the center of the road instead of along the side. But I think Smiley's probably right. I don't think there's going to be a really big turnout for any kind of public hearing. I think where people will get interested is when we go to enforce it, or if we declare somebody's sign illegal, then they'll care and then they'll get.
Is it possible to clean it all up in August? So let's just say if I ask this group to come back, what do you think, Liz? A week enough time to read through this?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I could do it.
That way it gives Mike a chance to finish his review.
Right.
If anything comes up. Let's say
by next Friday.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Either let's go. But you got to find out from Debbie, is that what kind of time does she need? Then do our public hearing on the 7th and do yours on the 18th or whatever, then it's over. Right?
Two things I want to bring out just from what Jim said. One of the things I was hoping that Mike would resolve between Monday and now was a question that we had about the minimum setback from lot line. That's where the whole discussion about, is it edge of pavement? Is it property line? Is it the lot, whatever? And because he hadn't done that, I picked lot line. I picked lot line because it's defined in our zoning ordinance, and it specifically says it doesn't include right-of-way. I'd like his opinion on that before we really solidify any of this. So that's one area that I'm just not comfortable with right now until we resolve that whole issue of ditch to ditch and center line and edge of pavement and right-of-way. I think that needs to be resolved in a legal fashion by somebody who knows more than I do. The other thing I want to bring out is that our enforcement is complaint driven. So if we get a complaint about a sign, we go out and we determine if it's illegal based on our ordinance. That's how it is now. If we don't get a complaint and there's an illegal sign up and nobody says anything about it, then we don't know.
Smiley,
and that would continue.
Is it happening that way still? Is that
yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's our enforcement.
The biggest point of difference is that in order to control, I'll say, rampant illegal signs, you would have to require a permitting process for every sign. And that's where Bruce and Debbie get a little nervous on how to administer that. And there is the opportunity for some additional blowback. To me, I think that process can be automated, and I point to the garbage dump sign license or permit as a way to do that. But I have some examples that I've printed out of other jurisdictions that you get online and you fill out the application. You can either submit it electronically or mail it in, so it doesn't require a trip in for the yard sale sign or something like that. It's a simple one page, here's the property, here's a photograph of what the sign is, get a permit type of thing. So that's the biggest enforcement question. It, in my view, would stay a report-based
system. Just using that as an example, then, if I put up a yard sale sign and I don't go through that process.
The only time it's a problem is if somebody reports you and you're turned in for having an illegal sign. So what I'm going to say to you is, you need to say the first time there's no fine. If you leave it up for a year and a half and it's an illegal sign, then there ought to be something to do it. But I don't really see it as being, I think we can soften the edges quite a bit. And what I proposed and sent to you guys does that in my mind. It is not flipping a light switch to say everything that isn't permitted is gonna hit you in hot water. It really doesn't do that.
But where is it? We're not taking up the enforcement part of it yet, right?
It's not in there right now.
I tend to think the enforcement topic can be parallel and completely separate from doing this, honestly.
You thought, is it permitting going to be separate, handled separately?
Because I don't think it's going
to
be part of the ordinance.
No, we have a permit section in
there. I saw
that.
I just wanted to make sure.
Policy change.
Right.
Yeah.
You could make that today without it being under the current.
But you see that as being, like, the first time would be a warning.
Yeah, it's not the risk the first time.
Second time.
Take your sign and run off.
I mean, it's the ones that do it every weekend all season long, and there's only a few, but why should I look across the road and see those illegal signs there all the time and be held to this standard for legal signs?
So if one of those people puts up a legal sign, there's a complaint, we tell them to take it down.
Or permit,
right.
So the next week they put up another sign.
Then the second time there'd be a little bigger slap on the wrist, and the third time they might actually get something harsher.
So the enforcement isn't just with that specific sign, then it's the individual, with the property owner?
Most often it's in the right-of-way, so you can't hold a landowner responsible for it. But you know who the sign is. If you read it, if you look at the content, you know whose sign it is. And so that's part of the legal challenge, is how do we hold XYZ business that has it not anywhere near their property. And signs cost money, so maybe it is like the state highway does. You just confiscate the damn thing. They lost their $200 sign, and how many times are they going to do that?
If state highway allows you to put a sign in there right away, do they permit it and you pay for it?
Yeah. It's an arduous process to do that, but yes.
Yeah. As I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, there were few times where they allowed it. And in those cases, I remember one in particular. It was a Legion in Loniconing or something, and they had already put it up, and so they made up some paperwork that they could keep it.
She actually suggested that in the case of the McHenry 219 corridor, we might want to all get together collectively and say, look, you never used all this right away, deed it back to the adjoining property owners. We didn't want to get that complicated in the process.
When we put up the sign on 495 for the Northern Bureau Industrial Park, we actually had to buy a little piece of property from the state highway that was there right away, put the sign on. They wouldn't let us put a sign there unless we bought the property to put the sign on.
So. Yeah, and currently, just so you know, we do not permit any of the yard sale signs and just banners for Autumn Glory. We don't do all that right now.
Here's where I'm at with everything. I'm like Liz. I'd like to have some time to read through this. I don't think we're ready to approve anything today. You need to get back with Mike Getty. I don't know about you. I have the rest of the week off. He probably does too. I think by next weekend, us as a planning committee, we should come back with you by Friday with any of our additions, deletions, questions, whatever. See what you can get with Mike Getty from him. And if it's possible that we could have another one of these and we could do something to have a public hearing on the August 7th date, we'll do that. But that's going to be a stretch, I think.
I think that just means that we all have to do the work. We have to commit to, like, having our comments in a week.
And within a week, right.
Yeah, like, and be serious about it and actually mm-hmm. do it and stick to the 7th as that date if we're going to move forward that way. But we can't have half of us, like, not submit anything.
Right, we have to have a comment. Mm-hmm. We're okay with right. it as is, or these are the issues I have.
That way she can put it out to the public at that point.
Once she gets our comments and gets back the question she has on.
She can get that hearing date set and get the advertisement in there for it.
And that's still
but that depends on how much time you need for our public meeting.
Well, that should be fine because that's advertised anyway. If it's along with your already scheduled meeting, then it's okay. If you're doing a special one outside of that, then I've got to make sure that it's advertised for an appropriate amount of time first.
But there could be a couple of us read this and be like, whoa, this is going to slow down everything because this here is going to take some more time.
Well, if you have
not
this.
Not likely, but I'm just saying.
And if you can't decipher it, it's not the easiest stuff in the world to read. Then you might want to call up and say, hey, Chad, what do we currently say? You know, what are these numbers and how do they compare to what we currently have? I mean, it's stuff that you guys are probably going to struggle with. Sign committee went through it. You guys probably will have some questions for us, and that's fine. But
now, next question is, can we vote or give her approval on through emails, or we have to come back into a meeting? That's what I thought you were shaking her head, so I figured that was good.
No, you fall under Open Meetings Act. You can't make decisions outside of the public eye.
So you want that, so if we take a week, which today's Wednesday, what, the 9th is Wednesday? 10th or whatever it is.
10th is Wednesday.
Tuesday.
We could go whatever your schedule were. Thursday would be a better
12th,
day.
11th or 12th, have it done.
You're saying have a meeting on the 11th or 12th?
I think what the 11th is Thursday.
Are you saying have a meeting or are you saying have your comments in?
Right. That
11th or 12th of July.
Right.
We have to meet, right? We have to do that.
You can't make a decision.
Right.
You can submit comments, questions, that sort
right.
of thing.
Right, up until
but
that
you can't
we need to have a meeting to approve them, right?
I don't think we have enough time to approve, because Mike Getty's got to get back with her on some of this that she has, and then with us, I don't think we would have a document in our hands, would we, really?
Well,
that'd be pretty quick.
Provided he doesn't change a whole lot, and I don't think he will change
when
a whole lot.
When we met Monday, he said he'd have comments done and back to you guys today, so I didn't know they weren't back, but he,
oh, okay.
What he has to answer is very little, and it should be done this week. He has some court case stuff.
Okay. I incorporated all the easy stuff. I tried to address the legal stuff, but I'm
really
not comfortable with that.
We had about three different wording issues, and so we were very close Friday. When we met with him Monday, we modified a few things, and it seemed
It's realistically by Thursday next week. It's done. That's why it's Wednesday or Thursday, either one.
Hey, Deb, is there any point in the Planning Commission meeting with Mike Getty?
He might be able to answer some questions, yeah.
I mean, we might want to do that, get our comments into each other and then meet with him. And then plan for that meeting on the 7th to be a public meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Are we pushing you on your end?
No.
I mean, are we...
No, I can... It's a lot easier to do the public meeting with your public meeting.
Okay.
And that gives you time to read it. You can submit questions. You can ask questions of Mike. You can ask questions of us. I'd rather you be comfortable before you face the public.
So what we're saying is we're going to not take any action on it until the 7th?
Right.
But then we'll have our public meeting that day too.
Right.
Okay.
But in the meantime, you get yourselves comfortable with it. You get yourselves knowledgeable.
As long as we're having
to... So we can be comfortable and come to the August 7th meeting, approve it, and then go right into public hearing in the same meeting?
You don't approve it till after the public hearing if you're going to do one. Because maybe somebody brings up something.
I thought we had to have approval of the document and then... Oh, then I say, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I misunderstood.
Enough time to do that.
Then I think August 7th is our date then.
That expedites the process on our side 30 days more quicker than what we would normally be doing.
Yeah. I thought we had... Okay. No, I'd say August 7th is doable now.
Okay, everybody agree? So the next meeting will be approve the document and have a public hearing at the same time.
We don't have to approve it. We don't have to approve it.
Well, but I'm saying that's what our goal would be, to approve it.
Depending on what?
On the public comment.
Right.
Yes.
But you're going to have
time. And in the meantime, we're going to massage it enough before the public meeting. The document has to be available to the public so they know what is going on. So I'll have to get that out there this month too. But I'm okay.
So then we need to decide the time, 1:30, or do you want to make it 4:30, or do you want to?
It's up to you guys. I mean, the argument for making it later is that people are working during the day, so.
Everybody okay with it? 1:30, 4:30, which would be best for you? 1:30,
I can do any time. 4:30 is fine with me too. It doesn't matter to me.
I don't know. I'm like, Mal, I don't think it's gonna be a whole lot of
if it's business
feedback.
If it's businesses, aren't we on their time at 1:30? I mean, it's not. You don't think individuals are gonna be here for an evening? I don't. I think business people.
I don't think you're going to have a bunch of people come in for yard sale signs, you know. It's going to be businesses.
Right. So we'll go 1:30 to 7th will be a public hearing and an approval with them. Is that good?
That's good.
All right. Mally, anything else?
No, thank you.
Appreciate your comments, though. That helps.
A lot of work in this sign thing.
Oh, my God.
I'm retired. I'm not supposed to be doing
it. All right. Next thing we have is a
Never
comprehensive
retired.
Plan. And you have a copy of that in your stuff. You sign it.
Thanks, John. Okay. So there were three things I was hoping to have for you today. I have one. Sometimes it's just been that kind of week. So what you're looking at is what we reviewed last time But in the new format and with the edits that we gave them, so you had looked at a sample format. Now this is actually the document. Just like I just said with the sign ordinance, this I got at 10:30 today. So Chad, God love him, did a really brief, quick look at the highlights, and he already caught some old language in there. So we do need to go over it again thoroughly. But what I need you to do is to read it, make sure you're okay. Any comments that you have, as if you didn't have enough on your plate already, I need you to read that and give any comments that you have on that as well. Hopefully by next meeting, that one's not as time sensitive. The other thing I was hoping to have from you, they're working on the housing chapter, and they were hoping to have that ready for you today, but I didn't see that as of the time I walked over here. The other thing is Brian Bowers is working on their contract extension and has asked them for a list of work still to be accomplished and phases that need to be met. They had promised him that today before the Planning Commission meeting, and that had not come in by the time I came over. But Brian is very good about being on top of that, so he is continually emailing them. So I'm letting him be the watchdog on that. I just watch because he copies me on everything.
I know I always ask that question. You feel uncomfortable with which way we're going?
They are working between me and Brian now on them. They get emails from us multiple times, generally.
And we're giving them an extension and then plus a penalty if they don't meet that timeline. Okay.
Yeah. Now Brian will work up some language. I'll run it by Liz, but he didn't want to finish working up the language for that until he got a list of items from them with the phases. So as soon as we get that, I assume he'll draft up something.
Any questions about what I do with my page?
So you've got homework.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Welcome to my world.
I know. There are two or three of me.
Good reading for the 4th of July weekend.
I know. Happy holidays.
Sustainable environment and the signing information.
Well, if you feel like getting out of control, just take a read at one of these and it'll get you back in shape.
My Claire, are we finished with the comprehensive plan? Anything else?
Unless you have questions, that's it.
My concern is what I just did there with that. Is that okay with you guys as far as staff goes with having a public hearing on the 7th? Is that going to put too much?
No, that's fine. That's okay. Fine.
But we're going to get comments to you by next Friday, and we're not going to have a meeting.
Yes. So if I have your comments, I have Mike's comments, then I can flesh out the document, get that on the website and out to the libraries, and a public notice out that it's available and that the hearing would be on the 7th. So as long as I have all that, okay. I think I have enough time to get it done. I don't have any spare time to get it done, but I have time to get it done. So that's good.
Okay, anybody else have anything to say? Jeff, you have anything? I didn't get to acknowledge you. Jim, you have anything else? Bruce? Timmy? Jeff? Liz? Dave? All in, all done? See you next time.
All right.
I need a hammer. There it is. Hit the hammer, Jeff. It's over there.
I guess it's just one to close it out, isn't it?